A reading from Acts, chapter 3.
One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple, called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said,
Look at us.
And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said,
I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk.
And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. I heard an interview this week with a farmer in rural Minnesota describing how the work stoppage at pork processing plants is creating chaos in her farm practices. Because there is no working plant to process her pork right now, she can't sell the pigs that she has on hand. She could maintain her current stock until conditions change, but like other farmers, she's contracted to receive thousands more baby piglets this spring. When they arrive, there will be no place to put them. And because sales have nearly halted, there will be no money for the mouths of months of food necessary to grow them into adult hogs. The only recourse that she hinted at in the interview was euthanasia. Indeed, MinnPost reported this week that COVID-19-related plant shutdowns could force hog farmers to kill and dispose of 200,000 pigs. Now, I grew up on a farm that raised pigs for the slaughterhouse. I regularly eat pork and other meat. I'm not naive to how demand for cheap daily meat has created a factory farming system that breeds, raises, and kills billions of animals each year. But the story is a striking, memorable example for me of the distorted relationship between human beings and the earth. Humanity harvests and consumes according to our need or pleasure. The rest of creation, including all of animal and plant life, too often is considered raw material to be modified, used, or disposed of as it suits our needs, as we see fit. We are the subject that matters, and the earth is an object that matters only to the extent that it serves human desires. And I wonder, is this really what God intended with the Genesis 1 command that humanity keep, guard, and steward the rest of creation? Another distorted relationship is revealed in today's Bible story. We hear of this man unable to walk, begging by the beautiful gate as passersby go into the temple. He is seen all the time, passed by hundreds, maybe thousands of people each day on their way into and out from their prayers at the temple. Their two good feet allow them to go into the temple and worship in the holy place where he is forbidden to go because of his imperfect, crippled legs. So there he sits each day like one of the anonymous faces on our city streets or boulevards, holding a sign or calling out for a little bit of money. The best this man can hope for are these coins, dropped by passers-by in an act of ritual piety. They keep him from being alone and being even poorer than he is, but there is no real recognition of his existence from them. Mutuality between he and they is missing. The interactions here are subject and object, giver and beggar. But one day, this man who is lame sees two people passing by, again, going into the temple. As it happens, they're Peter and John, followers of Christ. He asks them for alms, as he has done already 100 times today. But what comes next has never happened before. It's beyond his wildest imagination. Peter and John look intently at him. The beggar locks eyes with the disciples, who see him in this moment not as an object in their path, but as a human being like them, as a child full of promise, vitality, and life, a child of God. He's more than the disability and the begging which others see, more than the ritually unclean reject outside the temple, more than the poverty which has him still reaching out a hand to them. Peter and John see him as he truly is, made in the image of God like them, the God who has brought him into the world, nurtured him to this point, and who will be there waiting with an eternal embrace at the end of life. And with this moment of seeing, this mutual recognition, seeing through the eyes of faith, comes a natural response. Not something surface or artificial like cash, which they don't have. Instead, they offer what they do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. Then they go beyond words into actions. Peter takes the man by the right hand and raises him up. The touch feels real because it carries no trace of the fear which might turn others away. Immediately, the man's feet and ankles are strengthened beyond what they have ever been like in his whole life. He jumps up, we read. He stands, begins to walk, then leaps and praises God with utter joy. Describing this interaction, Ryan Pemberton writes that seeing and being seen in a way that's neither dependent on our economic need nor an opportunity for economic gain is a prerequisite to authentic relationships, relationships that offer vulnerability, healing, and even resurrection. In other words, recognizing the God-blessedness in others can lead from objectification to mutuality, healing, and restoration to life. One of my professors in seminary was the Asian feminist theologian Kwok Pui Lan, who one day asked us to take off our shoes while she taught us a remarkable song. I don't remember how the melody goes exactly, but the words were an invitation and instruction. She sang, "Walk softly on the earth. Massage her with your feet. For remember, when you're walking, you walk on your mother's face." That last line caught me with shock and surprise, almost offense. But I've never forgotten the different relationship to creation that this song suggests. Humans are not dominant subjects extracting resources from objects of creation, the so-called raw materials of mineral, plant, and animal life. Rather, creation is the best kind of mother to us, one with whom we have a tender, mutual, and loving relationship. Kwakpulan's song puts graphic imagery and urgency to what is often a shorthand slogan. How are we walking on the face of Mother Earth? How might we walk more softly, massaging her with our feet instead? The last we see of the man in Acts 3, he is walking as an equal with the disciples, no more alone and unseen, but in the company of others who have seen him. Even more impressive than the healing of his legs is the healing of this man's isolation. The power of Christ and the recognition of shared humanity has moved him from loneliness to companionship. With none of them kept outside the beautiful gate anymore as inferior, unclean, or unworthy, all three men go into the temple together, praising God for all to see. Thinking back again to those baby pigs in rural Minnesota, I remember the book Charlotte's Web. Do you know this one? Charlotte's Web describes how barnyard animals have their own thoughts, emotions, and subjectivity. The story unfolds through the chapters with conversations among animals like Wilbur the pig and Templeton the rat, and of course, Charlotte the spider. Humans are powerful outside actors who influence this animal world, and their decisions threaten the life of young Wilbur, who was the runt of his litter. Yet the fates of these animals change when Charlotte is able to catch the attention of the humans passing by, spinning webs that announce Wilbur as terrific, radiant, or humble. Over the course of E.B. White's novel, humans grow to regard Wilbur, and by extension, other animals, as creatures of worth and value. Some pig, in the words of Charlotte's Web, and not just a farm animal useful for his meat. This is a children's story, but there's a moral for all of us. God calls you and I to the healing of creation, which starts with being healed ourselves. Can we grow beyond blind presumptions of our human importance over the rest of the earth? How might we today notice and value the worth that is already there in the non-human world? How might we serve as better caretakers of the carbon, the forests, and the creatures that God has called us to steward with wisdom? Can we be like the spider in Charlotte's Web, using whatever we can, using the things of our lives to proclaim the beauty and wonder of all life, stopping destruction and opening up spaces of awe? Easter's resurrection continues now in the great and small miracles by which we recognize God-created worth in both human and non-human neighbors, those we pass by, that which is underfoot, and then we walk softly with the earth through another beautiful gate, worshiping God alongside every corner of creation. Alleluia and amen.